First, the number of mothers working in the U.S. is rising. In the 1970s, only about 47% of American moms were part of the workforce. 3 years ago, that figure had jumped to nearly 70%. That's according to the U.S. Department of Labor. In a series of new reports, the New York Times has been documenting stories of some of those women's experience with pregnancy discrimination in the workplace. Natalie Kitroev covers the economy for the New York Times. Her latest story on this is titled "Miscarrying at Work: The Physical Toll of Pregnancy Discrimination." Natalie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Before we talk about some of the specific cases you look at and the kinds of discrimination, I want to look at laws on pregnancy discrimination. I think a lot of people might assume that this is pretty well covered in the law, and reading your reporting, it sounds like it really isn't. Can you talk about what's out there?
The only law, the only federal law that is explicitly designed to protect pregnant women at work is the Pregnancy Discrimination Act. It is only four paragraphs long, and it's about 40 years old. So what's in there does not compel companies to offer accommodations to pregnant women who ask for them. Things like a break from heavy lifting, the ability to carry a water bottle around. It says that companies only have to do that if they are already providing such accommodations for workers who are similarly situated. That means that if a company is not giving anyone a break, is not giving anyone accommodations, they don't necessarily have to do that for pregnant women.
In your reporting, it seems like there's two broad themes of pregnancy discrimination. One is kind of financial impact, women being fired or having career setbacks. We'll get to that in a minute. Your latest piece, though, is on the physical impact and those accommodations you just mentioned. Talk about the kind of stories you came across when it comes to women, pregnant women, who didn't get accommodations in the workplace.
Our investigation identified more than two dozen women who had said that they suffered miscarriages, in one case a stillborn baby, because they were not given accommodations that they had begged for at work. And these are women doing physical jobs. These are women who are often doing heavy lifting, whether that's in a grocery store, which is one woman we profile, or in a warehouse, which is where we went in Memphis. It was a Verizon warehouse that is operated by a company called XPO Logistics, where workers are lifting huge boxes of iPhones and other tech, you know, gadgets. And we found six women who had miscarriages there after they begged supervisors for some sort of a break from that work. And they were not asking for time off, to be clear. They were asking to be moved to sections of the warehouse where they were handling letter boxes or handling paperwork. So this is the most extreme, as you note, physical consequence of pregnancy discrimination.
And in some cases, you document these are women who have come in with notes from their doctors saying, this isn't just a pregnancy, this might be a high-risk pregnancy for one reason or another. So they came in with these notes from their doctors asking for accommodations. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. And to be clear, it's safe for most pregnant women to work while they are carrying, right? These are women who, in almost all the cases, they had high-risk pregnancies, either because they had given birth prematurely before or for other reasons. In many cases, their doctors sent them notes, sometimes multiple notes, urging some sort of a break, accommodations, you know, the ability, as I said, the ability to carry water around, the ability to sit, lifting restrictions, most importantly. So these were, you know, we talked to doctors who said, you know, ignoring these notes puts our patients at risk.
Tell us a couple of the individual stories you came across at that facility in the Memphis area. That's where you talked to a lot of people as well as looking at legal filings.
So the story of Erica Hayes stands out here. Hers is a story from 2014. She had asked again to not lift those boxes weighing 45 pounds each. She wanted to be placed in a section of the warehouse where she handled, you know, sort of envelopes or paperwork for orders, something that didn't require this kind of strenuous work. She was told no, basically because there was a holiday rush in December 2013 that, you know, bled into January 2014. And she was one day at the end of a shift, she rushed to the bathroom. She was bleeding through her jeans, drenching her jeans. She fainted on her way out of the bathroom. She was taken to the hospital in an ambulance where she learned that she had miscarried. We heard from another woman named Chastity B, who had two miscarriages while working at this warehouse, one in 2008 and another one in 2014, that same year, under very similar conditions. She also collapsed to the warehouse floor in the middle of a shift and later learned that she had lost her baby. And these are women who, in all of these cases, both with Erica and Chastity, very, very much wanted their babies. Chastity had bought a baby blanket, for her baby girl, and Erica Hayes was dreaming of raising her kid with her best friend. So it was utterly wrenching.
What did you hear from the employer in these cases?
The employer, XPO Logistics, said, first of all, that they were not running the warehouse in 2014 when some of these incidents happened. There was another woman who had a miscarriage more recently, and there were actually two women who had miscarriages more recently, and there was also a death on the warehouse floor while XPO was running the warehouse. But as to the incidents in 2014, they indicated that those had not been reported to them when they purchased the company that owned the warehouse at the time. They also said that many of the allegations that we made about the warehouse were simply untrue, but they indicated that they would be investigating the more recent events, including the more recent miscarriage.
Talking to Natalie Kittra from the New York Times, she's been reporting on pregnancy discrimination in American workplaces. Staying with the physical side of the concerns related to pregnancy on the job, Natalie, it's not just lifting. In some cases, you talk to women who'd had trouble because they're required to use various chemicals, for example, for cleaning.
We've talked to women both for this most recent story and for a previous story that involved Walmart workers, where workers were cleaning with, chemicals that made them feel ill. They asked to please not work with those chemicals. They were not given a permanent break. And one of these women, again, had a health episode that she tied. She carried to term, thank God. But she found herself feeling very unwell and being unaccommodated by Walmart. There are risks for women in a variety of jobs. And again, that's not to say that pregnant women cannot do this work, but in the cases that we've looked at with high-risk pregnancies, they have asked for temporary adjustments to the work that they're doing.
Some people might hear this and say, well, why don't they just find different jobs, I guess, that don't have these kind of risks? How did the women talk about their need for these jobs, especially as they're expecting to start a family with a new kid?
Yeah, they sort of universally needed the paycheck, needed the health care. That's no surprise, right? I mean, the idea that you would just go, and stop working or while you're pregnant, while you're expecting a child is sort of, I think anybody would agree that that's sort of a crazy thought. But more importantly, and I think is the question that you're getting at, what they all said is, to a person, how was I supposed to get a new job while I was pregnant? They've all described the idea of job hunting while pregnant as being incredibly hard, and they were working in many cases low wage jobs and they sort of said, how was I going to get Target or Walmart or someone to take a chance on me if I was pregnant? So that was their expectation.
We're talking to Natalie Kitcheroff with the New York Times about her recent piece, Miscarrying at Work, The Physical Toll of Pregnancy Discrimination, part of a series of pieces related to discrimination against pregnant women at workplaces. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced issues like the ones we've been talking about, companies that have or haven't accommodated needs for pregnant women on the workplace? And coming up, we're going to talk about things like salary, promotion, discrimination, or even women being fired because of being pregnant. Is this something you've encountered? If you are an employer, how do you deal with these issues? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about pregnancy discrimination in the workplace, the impact it has on women's lives, health, and careers. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen or encountered discrimination against a pregnant woman, yourself or someone else at the workplace? Or do you feel like you are with an employer who does a pretty good job of handling these issues? What works? What doesn't? What are your personal experiences? Call 800-642-1234. Natalie Kitroff is with us from the New York Times. She's been reporting on this issue, cases of employment discrimination, health risks when women's needs aren't accommodated during high-risk pregnancies. We'll go to your calls now. Katie is with us in New Glarus. Katie, hi.
Hi there.
Hi, what'd you want to tell us about, Katie?
Well, I'm an employment attorney in Wisconsin, and I represent women who are discriminated against in the workplace due to pregnancy, among other things. But one thing that I have observed a few times recently is sort of the reverse of this, where employers refuse to allow women to come to work when they're pregnant because we have employers sometimes who are overzealous at wanting to protect women from themselves. And, you know, they have a doctor's note saying, you know, they're fine, they can lift 50 pounds, they're, you know, and they want to continue being active throughout their pregnancy. An employer who has really made it difficult for them to continue working when they're able to do so, which is another form of discrimination. They are, in Wisconsin, employers are prohibited from not accommodating women with a pregnant restriction.
Got it. Katie, thanks a lot for the call. So, Natalie, did you encounter this? Employers taking things to the opposite extremes and just saying, okay, there are health concerns, we think, we're not going to accommodate, you just can't come to work.
It's interesting. That that predicament is actually an old one, and it's one that led to the passage of the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, partly because companies were doing precisely what Katie describes, and taking a sort of paternalistic approach towards women and denying them opportunities, to do jobs that were seen as dangerous for them. So it definitely goes both ways. What sort of emerges from all of this is that there is a deep sort of cultural issue that employers confront one way or another, which is that they sort of sometimes have trouble sort of conceiving of how to deal with pregnant workers or pregnant job applicants.
Katie, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Jennifer on the line in Madison. Jennifer, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your story, Jennifer?
Well, I was let go from my job in my first trimester, and I was looking for a job while I was pregnant. I had quite a few interviews, but as soon as they saw that I was pregnant, even if I was overqualified for the job, I would hear nothing or say, or they would tell me that, oh, we're going in a different direction, you know, the general thanks but no thanks.
And that initial firing, Jennifer, was that, do you think or no, related to your pregnancy?
They never gave me a specific reason that was why they got rid of it, or they let me go. They said that they never received paperwork, and it must have gotten lost in the mail, and that's why they decided to fire me. So, okay.
Gotcha. Jennifer, thanks for the call. And Natalie, this gets toward the other part of your reporting on this pregnancy discrimination issue, not so much the physical concerns, but the career concerns of women. What kind of things, what kind of stories did you hear, like Jennifer's or others?
We heard story after story like Jennifer's, and it's just, to be clear, awful what she experienced. We heard from women who were If they weren't fired during their pregnancies, they were demoted. If they weren't demoted, they missed out on a raise. When they got back from maternity leave, their salary was cut, or they were sidelined in ways that, may have been subtle to others, but was blatant to them. They were taken off of prestigious assignments. And yes, in the job application process, I mean, to be very clear, this is 100% illegal under the Pregnancy Discrimination Act to consider someone's pregnancy status in a hiring decision. But it still happens. Our interviews have shown that it's so common, you wouldn't believe. Once you start opening these conversations with the women in your life and you ask them, how were you treated? It's not everybody, but you may be surprised to find out just how common that experience is.
Jennifer, thanks a lot for sharing your story. And Natalie, I would think in most cases, of course, an employer isn't going to say we're discriminating against you because of your pregnancy.
Right.
But again and again in the stories you share, yeah, they were pretty blatant about it in some cases.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, you would actually be surprised because they may not actually say, we're discriminating against you because you're pregnant, but we heard really sort of shocking things. Employers asking, how are you going to be able to handle this with a kid on the way? You might want to take time off. You may not be so committed when you come back because you're going to have a baby and you have no idea whether you really are going to want that promotion when you come back. These are all things that women hear, and I'm not talking about women that really do want to sort of take time off and take care of their kids. That's one thing. I was hearing this from women who were absolutely thrilled to, wanted to stay on their job tracks, wanted to keep climbing the ladder, and were told these things and sort of saw those hopes diminish in front of their eyes.
Talking to Natalie Kitroff from the New York Times about her reporting on employment discrimination against pregnant women. And yeah, you had one story, Natalie, a six-figure executive. She had arranged childcare starting at 7 a.m. She was full-on committed to doing the job just like she had pre-baby. And yet, what happened?
Yeah, this is Erin Murphy at Glencore, and she was overseeing the movement of oil over there. It's a big commodities trading firm. She had, did everything, or so she thought, to sort of stay on track. And she was determined after having her kid that she was going to just keep going and barreling ahead. She'd gotten great performance reviews. She was doing well in the eyes of her superiors. But when she came back, she found herself, her boss told her that having a kid would, quote, definitely plateau her career, according to court documents. So, again, those kinds of remarks and the attitude that she says that she faced basically led to a stagnation in her job. And this is someone who, as you said, is a high achiever who was very much committed to staying on the track and says that she was simply pushed to the side after giving birth.
Did I see in your reporting the statistic for people in the same situation, but their new dads, their salary tends to go up on average after a new kid comes along?
Yeah, that's right. Each child takes 6% off of a woman's wages. The same is not true for men. Men who become fathers get a pay bump. And that's in the statistics. We asked social scientists, sociologists who look at this, why that's happening, and they told us there is a feeling among employers that when men become fathers, they've sort of become, need a pay bump because they're taking care of their families. They've sort of become the breadwinners. Of course, that collides with the reality in America that more and more women are serving as breadwinners or co-breadwinners with their husbands.
So looking at all of this, are there efforts to change things, either change the laws or, I guess, change the sociology, the culture going on here?
There is a law that has been, a bill that has been proposed in every congressional session since 2012. It's called the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act that would close the loopholes that allow some of that you know, what we talked about initially, the denial of accommodations to pregnant women. It would compel, it would do for pregnant women what the Americans with Disabilities Act does for disabled people. It would require employers to accommodate them as long as it doesn't impose an undue hardship. I don't know, you know, we're waiting for the midterms to happen to see anything in the legislature, but we may see some, we've been hearing that there may be activity on that. And on the culture question, you know, I think it remains to be seen. You know, all I can say is that the response to these stories has been overwhelming, and we have heard more and more that that women and men, women, you know, and their employers are having these conversations. So I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah. Are there more follow-ups coming up in your reporting just based on what you're hearing from your readers at this point?
Yeah, there are. We have a couple more stories planned, so stay tuned and obviously, you know, keep an eye out for these stories because we can't wait to bring you some of these.
Natalie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Natalie Kitroff, economy reporter with the New York Times. She was with us to talk about her reporting a series of reports on various aspects of pregnancy discrimination in the workplace, blue-collar jobs, corporate jobs, and how it impacts women, both their physical health and their financial and career well-being. Do you have a story? You can go over to the New York Times and share it with them, or you can share your thoughts at Central Time WPR on Twitter. You can always email us ideas@WPR.org. Do you have a story related to pregnancy discrimination at the workplace, or do you work for an employer who you think does a pretty good job of dealing with these issues? Again, email ideas@WPR.org, or you can always tweet us at Central Time WPR.